The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. Hello, Sunshine, and welcome to She Was the Fire. It's time to stop dancing in the dark. Let's light your fire and ignite your spark. I'm your host, Courtney Mangan, and thank you for tuning in to today's episode. And this is not the episode that I thought I would be recording at this time, that's for sure. But unfortunately, I don't really know what else to do. So I have decided that after 18 months, almost 80 episodes, and 125,000 downloads, this could be potentially my final episode of She Was the Fire. What I'm going to say is that it's goodbye for now because I don't know what the future holds. But for me right now, with the way that my health is and everything that's going on, this is becoming more of a burden than a blessing. And the reason I started this podcast was because I was so passionate about it and I still really am, but I also have to put my health first. And sometimes health and the things that we have to do as an adult come before our passions, unfortunately. And I've talked many times on this podcast about how I have had to make tough choices and that cancer is absolutely fucked and that it has forced me to make choices that I've never wanted to as a 35-year-old woman. And unfortunately, this is another one. So, today's episode, I'm just going to recap what I've been up to lately. I'm going to talk about the year that was 2021. I'm going to leave you with a few court report recommendations. I don't want to leave you high and dry and just talk about sort of what the future holds. So for the final time, let's do a call to action because the only place you're going to hear from me moving forward will be my Instagram. So make sure you head over there and follow me at Courtney Mangan. Let's kick off with the final fire starter. I'm going to do a song this week that is one of my all-time favorite songs. And I think that's because it's one of those songs that I can turn on when I'm feeling angry, when I'm feeling sad, just any kind of like heightened emotion and just sing it out and just feel like raw and just feel like all the feels, I guess. And that song is Not Ready to Make Nice by The Chicks, previously known as the Dixie Chicks. There's this moment towards the end of the song where Natalie, the lead singer, sings the lines, made my bed and I sleep like a baby with no regrets and I don't mind saying. And it's that kind of like that whole section where she sings it with this like rawness and you feel this like pain, the way that she's singing, like you hear the pain in her voice. And I don't know why, but I just love it. It was actually the Chicks' response to the way that they kind of came out and spoke out against the president during that whole George Bush debacle. And that's when America sort of was really on the side of George Bush. And they were very like anti-America. And when the time when they came out, we hadn't really had a lot of that happen. And, you know, since then, obviously Green Day did American Idiot. And it's like, you know, everybody kind of loves that kind of chat now. But at the time, they got in a lot of trouble and there was a huge controversy around their comments that they made and they basically got cancelled for some time. And this was their comeback song where they said, I'm not ready to make nice. And the lyrics are just so powerful. So I recommend you go listen to that. I will, of course, add it to my Firestarter playlist, which you can catch on Spotify, or you can just like search my name, Courtney Mangan, and it'll be in there. All right, let's ignite today's topic. Goodbye for now. So let's just recap what I've been up to lately. Last week I went away for the weekend because I was going to an event that I was speaking at. So I spoke at the Long Lunch, which was basically the Melanoma Long Lunch for raising research money in order to look into why immunotherapy works for some people and not others. And that lunch was really powerful. We raised $250,000, which was just so amazing. But I think that I really underestimated how triggering that event would be for me. And I try really hard to be positive all the time and not think about what stage four cancer can mean for me and, you know, my mortality. And I just try to be thinking towards the treatment's working, and everything's going well, I'm not going to have to worry. But this event wasn't just about raising funds. It was also about celebrating a man who had passed away from melanoma, and his family were there, and they spoke beautifully, and his daughter got up and sung this beautiful song that she had written to dedicate to her father. And I think I underestimated how triggering that would be for me to see all these people in the room to celebrate this man who had passed away. And of course I couldn't help but put myself in that situation and think like about my family, and I could see that it was like hard for my family as well to be in the room. And yeah, I guess it was a lot harder than what I thought it was going to be. I had my family and friends there, which was like such a blessing, because I was only, they said to me that I could like bring a friend, and so I could only have one person with me. But thankfully Sam said like, no, we want to all come and support you, and I'll pay for a table. So thankfully like all of my family and friends were there. There was like a whole group of us. I think that if I had just gone with just one support person, I probably would have been a lot harder. But yeah, I got up and I wasn't as, I don't know, I didn't say everything that I wanted to say. Everything I wanted to say kind of went out the window because I kind of got overwhelmed and nervous and just all the feelings. I just kept thinking, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, hold it together. And so when I was focusing on that, I kind of wasn't being like as meaningful as I would have liked to be with the things I said. But we raised the money, so I must have had an impact at some point, so that's good at least. But yeah, it was very powerful and amazing to be a part of, but it definitely was really difficult. And it's not really something I'd ever thought about before, because I've gotten up and I've spoken about my melanoma many times, but the event wasn't necessarily about melanoma. It was just been about my story, and I've talked about business and I've talked about other things that I've done, and melanoma has been a part of that. Whereas that day, it was all about that one part that defined me. And so it was just a lot. So then after that, we stayed out there for the weekend in Brisbane, went to some yummy restaurants, did a bit of shopping, a lot of retail therapy. And yeah, so it was really amazing to be a part of. So that was wonderful. We've also just kicked off a big campaign for Black Friday for James Cosmetics. This is like our biggest time of year. We work for months towards this date. So November 8th is kind of when everything's happening. Our biggest sale of the year will launch. We've got three new products that we're launching. So it's a big day. Very excited for that. It's so wonderful to see that the campaign we've been working towards has been like all out there now. We're getting a great response. So that's wonderful. It's just, I think that November 8th, this will have already happened. So obviously the sale will be live by the time you hear this podcast. So yeah, very exciting stuff. It's a big deal around here, Black Friday. So it's kind of what, as I said, we work towards the whole of the year. And so that's very exciting. And now that's sort of done on our end, at least. Now it's over to like customer service and the packing and the warehouse. So the marketing side's kind of done. We've already got all of our social stuff done, our campaign side of things done. So now we're looking towards early 2022, the middle of 2022, what we're going to be doing for other campaigns. So we're in that planning phase now. And that's kind of all I've been up to at the minute. I have had my third treatment of four with my Ipi-Nivo immunotherapy. So far, so good. And in terms of my body hasn't fallen to pieces. We still don't know if the treatment's working. I won't know until like the middle of December. So either it's going to be a fucking brilliant Christmas or the worst Christmas of my life. So it's just so weird to know that like one little result will either mean everything or like just nothing. Like it's either going to be the best Christmas I've ever had or the worst. And that's just crazy to think that it is all just like on such a knife's edge. But so far, all I've really had is like fatigue, dry mouth has been really bad. I've had a lot of oral mouth issues. I've had a rash, joint pain. My productivity has suffered just because my concentration isn't where it's at. Motivation is really hard because like I get a lot of short-term memory loss, that kind of stuff. But as far as like being able to get up every morning and function, I've been really good. I've been going to work, getting on with it as much as I can. I had a day off the other day just because, I mean, I say day off. I just worked from home from my bed, just kind of resting my body as much as I could. But other than that, haven't wound up in hospital yet. There's been no major like long-term side effects. So that's all really good. I've gotten off scot-free so far. And my fourth treatment will be in another week. So we shall see what happens from there. Fingers crossed that all goes well to plan. And then in the middle of December, I'll get all of my scans, PET scan, MRI, blood tests, CT, all of that kind of stuff, and we will know from there whether the treatment is working or it's not. So basically what will happen is if the tests come back saying that it shrunk the cancer, brilliant. That is the best news that we can possibly hope for. Cannot wait. Like, that's the day that I'm waiting for. That's what I'm hoping we're going to get, and then it's just going to be the best Christmas ever. However, if it comes back that it has not worked, the treatment, and the tumor has stayed the same, the cancer has stayed the same, or it has increased, which there is a 70% chance of that happening, that will mean that I will have to have surgery straight away to remove any cancer in my body that can be removed surgically. And then after that, I will be then going on, hopefully, some other form of treatment that we can get me into. So we'll probably have to look at medical trials at that point. So I don't really know exactly what the future holds if this doesn't work. It's not a good future, that's for sure. It's a scary future. It's a very uncertain future. And it'll definitely be something that is pretty heartbreaking that I'll be have to looking at, you know, I don't even know how to say these things, I guess. It's so hard to even like, you know, I don't want to talk about death and all that kind of stuff because I want to be really positive. But that's obviously something that we, you know, when anyone gets cancer that you face, and it's definitely creeps into your thought process for everything that you do. Like this year I was like, I'm tired and I don't really want to put my Christmas tree up because I'm like, ugh, it's just so much effort, you know, like I might just put the tree up and the lights and just kind of keep it really minimal this year. But then I was thinking like, well, I don't know how many more Christmases I have. Like, will I regret just being a lazy bitch and not putting the Christmas tree up when, you know, Christmas is like my greatest joy? So it's definitely all of those things that play on your mind when you have this life-threatening shit going on. And so tonight I'm putting my Christmas tree up with my family. I'm just going to bite the bullet and do it and stop being lazy. And I know I'll be happy with that decision because that's the best thing for me. And my Christmas tree brings me so much joy when I see it. You know, I have it on the timer thing where it's like the little app thing that the timer goes off at 5 o'clock every day. So as soon as I get home from work, I see my lights on. It makes me so happy. And so that's going to bring me a lot of joy. But yeah, I don't know what the future holds, you know. And with this podcast, it's just become like, I just need to strip everything back. And as much as I love doing this, it's just, it's so much on my plate. And it's also like not even that much on my plate. When I think back to what I was doing 2 years ago and the capacity I could do, there was so much more. Like I have such a little plate now and it feels like it's so much because there's so much going on with my body, with in my head. Like there's just, it's hard. Everything is a lot harder than what it used to be. And so I just have to strip everything back. Let's just get back to basics, figure out what this looks like for me. You know, if we get to next year and it's like the cancer's gone, you're in remission, it's all great, all the treatments are working, wonderful, then I can start adding shit back onto my plate, you know. But in case that's not what happens, I need to just strip everything back as much as I can. So that's kind of what we're doing here. I wanted to quickly just recap as well a bit of the year. And I guess I would say like started off at Hamilton Island. So that was a wonderful family and friends holiday that I went on there. And then I was like refreshed and ready to get back into work. And I knew that I only had a few more treatments left to do because treatment was finishing in February. It was just such a good time. I remember feeling like I'm ready to take on the year. I was filling out my goal setting book. I had all these like goals and dreams and things I wanted to achieve. And it was wonderful. And then obviously things obviously started to unfold with my health that made that a little bit more difficult. But also this year I've done some amazing speaking events, the melanoma one I just talked about. I went to some business events. I spoke at the Flawed and Fabulous event, which was one of the like goals that I had last year, was to like work on my confidence to be able to do these kinds of things. And I didn't seek out any speaking events, But the minute that I started like working on myself to be better at this kind of stuff, they just kind of like started coming at me and people asked me to come. I think I spoke at like 4 or 5 different events this year. So honored that people would ask me to speak. And I just love that. I love that whole like getting to know people, networking with people, telling my story, sharing, and hopefully inspiring other people to live the life they've dreamed of or go get their skin checked or wear SPF every single day. So that's been like a real blessing this year. I have loved every minute of doing that. I launched my second collection for Courtney Mangan Co. So a new color scheme and design for my notepads. And speaking of that, I will be releasing my third collection in a couple of weeks. So by the time you hear this podcast, I'll probably be a week or two away from doing a pre-sale. I don't know how many products to order. I'm really confused about who is interested in purchasing and who is not, because obviously I launched originally when I only had something like 5,000 followers. And now I have over 16,000 followers, so it's very different, but you can't base follower numbers on sale numbers. And I also know that like a lot of people might purchase my quote calendar last year, but then also a lot of people bought a lot of stuff in my sale only a couple of months ago. So I don't know how many people are going to want to repurchase other things, new designs, new quote calendars, things like that. So I'm just going to do a pre-sale, I think, and then ship everything at the start of December. So you still get it in time for Christmas. But I will give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek as to what I'm launching. So I'll say everything. I've kind of shown a little bit on my Instagram, but not fully everything. So what I am releasing is new color schemes of my notepads. So there'll be 2 new color schemes. There's like a retro kind of pinky color and then a bright green color. Well, not, I don't know if it would be bright, like maybe Bottega Veneta kind of green, if you know what I mean. And they are coming out in the Daily Focus, the Weekly, and the Master. So I've got those 3 coming out in 2 different color skews. I'm also releasing some desk pads in the same colors. There'll be an A2 and an A3 size. So the A2 will be in the green and the A3 will be in the pink. And I'm also releasing a new quote calendar. I am also doing a little new project that I've never done before. It's not stationery. It's something a little bit different. I'm not sure. I don't think I'm ready to reveal all yet. So I'm just really excited. But the clue is it's very on brand for me. Very on brand and like it's a bit of fun. All right. So that'll be coming in the next week or so. So very excited for that. What else happened this year? We did some amazing James Cosmetics campaigns. We released new products and we did some really cool videos and campaigns around them. We also did a pop-up for Mother's Day at Pacific Fair, which is the first like physical standing sort of moment where you could buy James, not just like in online. So that was very exciting. I had some amazing podcast episodes this year. I just really love like chatting to people and getting to hear their story. And I'm so grateful for all the time the guests had given me. I also did the Survivor getaway with all of our teams. So the Mangan Company did our first retreat. It's going to be like an annual thing. And it was so great. It was like the best time. I told you about it afterwards, but it was, you know, the Survivor challenge. We did a trivia challenge and we did like a creative thing. It was so much fun. I loved all the bonding with the staff and just forcing them to live out my dream of being on Survivor. I did several weekends away, just like up to Brisbane this year, because obviously we couldn't really go much further than that. Went to Noosa this year as well for a few nights, which was wonderful because Noosa is one of my all-time favorite places and I haven't been there in like 10, 15 years. So that was really special as well. I did a weekend away for my birthday with my friends, which was amazing. So yeah, I've done some really great things this year and it's been more about like the moments. I've been to some amazing events that I was just a guest at. And yeah, it's just been like a good year. I know that it's been like hard for a lot of people and it's been hard for me. You know, I finished treatment and I was on this high. I had this dinner with my friends celebrating that was like, fuck cancer balloons and you did it. You're amazing. And then it was just a few months later and my cancer was back and spread to my abdomen. And then I had to have surgery and that took a month for me to recover. And then the next test had spread again. And then I went on the toxic treatment. It's been, you know, not a great time for my health, obviously. But there's been so many other special things that have happened this year and it's been really wonderful because so many of you have been along for that ride. I obviously share pretty much everything at this point of my life on Instagram or on this podcast. And this community has grown and the purpose that it has given me has helped me through some really hard times. Having purpose, I think, when you're going through something as difficult as I am, is everything. And receiving messages from people saying that if they hadn't gone to get a skin check, then they may not have found that cancerous mole and I potentially could have saved their life, really has just helped me through so much this year. Turning my pain into something that has helped people has been really important to me and has been a big part of my journey. Gratitude has been a big part of my journey and staying strong mentally. And, you know, I had a follower message me and they had mentioned my name in a newspaper article it was on the Daily Mail because they had gone and got a skin check because of me and now she has stage 4 cancer, which is, you know, horrible, but it got spotted because of me and she's able to get treatment now that will hopefully save her life because of me encouraging people to get skin checks and because I also am like an advocate for health and go get all the tests that you need to get if you're postponing a colonoscopy or a pap smear or whatever it is, cervical screening, go and get them done. And I had a woman message say that she went and got her breast screening done because I had encouraged people to take control of their health and she found out that she did have breast cancer. So all of those things, whilst I don't want any of you finding cancer anywhere, it does mean a lot to me to know that I encourage people to be proactive with their health and that hopefully they don't have the same fate as what I do and that it's all about early detection with any cancer, but in particular melanoma. So that has just been such a blessing. And this year especially, last year was tough. I was going through treatment and I had my first cancer kind of like big diagnosis. I had the initial mole years ago, but this was like a more serious one. And I went through that year of growth and learning about myself and taking control of my life. And it was all that groundwork that I put in that has helped me this year. But this year mentally has been far more difficult, that's for sure. Just because it's more serious now, you know, it's become more life and death with this cancer stuff. And so that has been really hard, but it has been all of you that have made it just that much easier because you've come along with me on this mission that I've had and that has meant the world to me. Your support and this community that we have built together has been a lifesaver for me. So I want to thank each of you for tuning in each week and for watching me on Instagram. And as far as like what is my plan for the future, putting aside my health fucking drama, as long as I'm able to do things, my plan is to kind of turn my Instagram a little bit more into something like the podcast if I can. I'm not sure exactly what that looks like just yet, but I'm thinking maybe I could do a court report IGTV video style thing where I do like a 10-minute video once a month or once a quarter where I give you my recommendations for the court report still. So you're still getting that content because that's like the number one thing I get from people when they say what their favorite episode is. It's usually always the court report. And so I'm wondering how I can try to fit that in still on my Instagram. So you're still getting that content. I will still, of course, turn up as much as I can on my Instagram stories, being as raw and honest as I can. I'll try to do a few more Q&As, though I'm still answering a lot of the questions that you guys have, and I'll try to make my Instagram as interactive and engaging as I can to make sure that I can't really make up for like a 45-hour long podcast, obviously, but I can do my best. So that's all I can do at the moment. I plan to obviously release my collection 3 for Courtney Mangan Co., which I'm really excited about. And depending how some of these products go, it will kind of determine what I do for next year to see what kind of response I get, especially from this like new secret product that I'm releasing. So I'll kind of see what the response is there. If it's something that people really enjoy, I have the potential to be able to expand that. But for the moment, the thing on my plate just needs to be Courtney Mangan Co. and my Instagram, and that's it, because I do that stuff outside of my work hours for the most part. And so if I was to sort of add this podcast as well more onto my plate, because I have staff at the minute that help me with this podcast, but I kind of we have a lot of work at the minute, so I kind of have to minimize what they're doing and I have to take a bit more of that on board for me, and I just can't do that at the minute. So I can't do – I'm just at capacity basically with regards to my personal time. I can't add more in, and if I do, it will be at the expense of my sleep or health or, you know, social life, and that's not really what I want to be giving up at the minute, just because although, like, you know, my normal motto is like just hustle – you know, to get shit done, and that's the main thing. Like, but for me, it's like my social life is really important at the moment, because that time with my family and friends, like, I don't know how long I have with them, and so I don't want to waste it editing a podcast, you know, as much as it means a lot, and I know it means a lot to you guys, it's my time with my family and friends has to take the priority at the moment. So that's kind of where that's at. And then next year, I would just, you know, I just have to focus on getting better if I can. Yeah, so I think 2022 just needs to be about me. I want to get more into a routine with my health things. I want to be able to just like experience every moment and soak up the moment, do more activities if I can, obviously health-wise, experience like things and make memories is what I want to do. And I also want to become a lot better at my job. I would like to be able to just like really step up another notch in terms of what I do here day to day with the creative side of things. Creativity has been something that has been difficult for me. When you have a lot on your plate, you've got a lot on your mind, creativity kind of goes out the window. And so I do want to be able to dedicate more time to be able to be bigger and better with my creative ideas next year. So that's something I want to focus on as well. So anyway, I know this podcast episode is all over the place. That's how my brain is at the moment, to be honest, and my life. I don't know what the future holds. Like, even I have to move apartments in a minute because they're selling my apartment, and I just don't even know, like, what to do about that. The housing market, the rental market is an absolute nightmare right now, and I would love to be able to move somewhere closer to the beach to be able to get more of that, like, that moment of nature out at the beach in the like late afternoon kind of vibe, but that's like really expensive at the moment. So that's going to be like way more than what I'm paying rent now. Even if I wanted to keep the same rent that I'm paying at the moment, I have to downgrade because everything's so expensive. And when you're living alone, I don't have someone to halve the rent with. It's a lot of money. And I need to have several bedrooms because I need to be able to have my mum stay with me in case I do get sick from treatment. There's just like, I don't want to be like too far away from my family in case I am sick and I need help. Like, there's just so many factors at the minute. I just don't know whether I'm coming or going because everything feels like it's on pause. She says as she puts her podcast on pause. It literally feels like my life is on pause. And I don't know what to do about it because I, like, on one hand, I'm like, I want to go and live my life and experience life and you only live once and get a hold of it. But it's just like, I have to rest and take care of myself. You know, it's like, I can't, it's just, there's so many competing things going on at the minute. I just want to know what the PET scan says. I just want to know if the cancer treatment is working. And that's the honest answer. I'm just sick of waiting, but there's nothing I can do about it. I just have to hold out a few more weeks, just a few more weeks. It's like a month. One more month, I just have to hold out. I've been waiting for two, just one more, you can do it. And just, I feel like that PET scan is going to be the hardest PET scan of my life. My last PET scan, as you know, my mask was like slipping off my face for like 30 minutes and that was torturous. But it was actually like, I guess, kind of good because it was keeping my mind off the test at hand. And I wasn't actually expecting that test to come back with cancer, so I wasn't as stressed as I would be. But everything banks on this next PET scan. So I think that I'll probably be just lying in that PET scan, just crying the whole time. What a nightmare. Wow, this episode is just like all over the place. I'm so sorry. I sat down to kind of plan out what the episode would be, and then I was like, you know what, just get down there and just speak honestly and genuinely from your heart. And now that I'm doing that, I'm realizing that it's a bit of a shit show and you're not really getting any value out of what I'm telling you. But I guess it's the final one. So it is what it is and it's honest, and that's always what I'm about. But of course, I want to give you just a little something. So my final court report recommendations for She Was the Fire. First up, something that I watched lately and I really enjoyed was The Maid on Netflix. And it's about a single mother who turns to house cleaning in order to make ends meet as she escapes like an abusive relationship and overcomes homelessness in order to create a better life for her and her daughter. I will give this warning to you that there are a lot of trigger warnings in this show, especially around domestic violence, toxic relationships. And so I think that there's a lot of stuff about mental health as well that you need to be prepared for that. But it's a really powerful show. I really enjoyed it. It stars Margaret Qualley and Andie MacDowell, who are mother and daughter, and they play mother and daughter on the show, which I think is really powerful. Producers are John Wells and actually Margot Robbie. John Wells is just a legend of television. ER, The West Wing, Shameless. If it's a good show, John Wells has his name on it. He's very talented in Hollywood. And it also stars Nick Robinson, who you might know from Love, Simon. He plays like the lead in that. And he plays the lead in this show. And he is a really, really likable guy in every other role he's played, which I really love that they cast him, because it was, I guess when you watch the show, what it tells you is that domestic violence is not always physically violent. And it really does show you that cycle of how women can go back to their abusers, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, financial abuse, that how women end up going back. In the show, I think they say on average 7 times before they can leave an abusive relationship. And I think that it really was powerful casting him, because you as a viewer, you didn't like him, but then you also at the same time did like him. And it was very real that you could see how the girl was like, oh, he's making me these promises. And, you know, we have this family together. It's easier to go back. But then you're like, no, don't go back. It's a horrible, toxic situation that you're in. But you kind of understood the cycle. So I think it was really powerful, because so much in Hollywood movies and TV shows, when we see these domestic situations, it's always very clean cut. It's the husband that's like beating the crap out of his wife. He's also a cop, so she can't escape because the police are on his side, because they're all his mates. It's always that. And you're always like, he's the biggest asshole on the planet. Why would she stay? You know, and it's that kind of like when she's trying to escape, you're on her side and you're like, yes. Then when she leaves, she's done forever. And then J-Lo kills him in the end, whatever. Yeah. It's all very like over the top, and that is what happens to some women. But a lot of women, I think most women, end up going back because there are all these apologies and promises made, and, you know, women think that they've changed, or, you know, there's all the men have changed, there's all these things. And I think it was really powerful to see that sometimes it is a nice guy who has a very bad history with alcoholism or drug use, and sometimes, you know, that disease can take over and he can become another person, and you can love them, and it can just still be a very bad situation that you need to leave. And it's not always black and white, and there are spots of gray. And I think that it was really good to show that, because the biggest biggest cliche is like, well, I would have left. And I think until you're in a situation, you don't know. And I think that the show really nailed that. It also handled mental health really well. And it also highlighted homelessness in a unique, different kind of way as well. So I really recommend it. Very powerful stuff. Now, I'm going to give you an oldie but a goodie. And when I went through all of the shows I've recommended on this podcast for the Court Report before, I realized that there is a show that I've talked about before, but I never properly recommended it. And so for my last episode, this is what you're getting. My top recommendation of all time, and I'm sure all of you know what I'm about to say, but my ultimate Court Report recommendation is The West Wing. And it is a show about presidential advisors and the president and their personal lives tangled up in their personal duties as they try to conduct the business of running the country. It's an old, old show. But it is so worth it. Aaron Sorkin wrote this, and Aaron Sorkin is a brilliant screenplay writer. He wrote A Few Good Men, Newsroom, Just so many, you know, the Social Network movie, so many amazing films and television shows, just iconic. And this show is just iconic. It's just the greatest show of all time. And if you haven't watched it, I suggest you do. I do get messages every now and again from people being like, oh my God, I just started the West Wing. Where has this been all my life? Or, you know, people will message me after a few episodes in being like, oh my God, Sam's my favorite character. And I'm like, mine's Josh. And they'll be like, why would you like Josh? I'm like, just you wait. Then like a few, like a next season or whatever, like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with Josh. I just love it so much. And then people message being like, why can't politics really be like this? And it's just so idealistic. But I think that especially the time that we're in at the moment where politics is, you know, a pretty horrible landscape. We've had presidents like Donald Trump and, you know, not everybody's a fan of ScoMo, and presidents and prime ministers and world leaders have made some horrible decisions on climate change. And we really just doubt leaders at the moment. We don't have a lot of like people that we love in high powered positions. And so I think that watching this West Wing show is like nostalgic for a time of life I'm not sure ever really existed. Do we ever have a president that we truly loved or a prime minister? I don't know. But it's just wonderful to think that there are people in high places that are doing it for the right reasons. And sometimes I think we doubt that with the politicians or the leaders that we have in this world. And I don't know whether they are doing it for the right reasons or not, or if corruption and power has taken over, who knows. But this show, I think, really just makes you feel good about politics, which not really any other show about politics does, that's for sure. So it's just it makes you feel smart watching it too. If you want to feel like more intelligent, watch this, because you'll feel like, oh my God, I know so much about the world now. So the acting is just out of this world. Like, it's so good. The storytelling, Aaron Sorkin is just some sort of a writing god. And I can't speak more highly of this show. So please go watch it. If it's the last thing you do that I ever recommend to you, please let it be watch The West Wing. I think that you can watch it on Binge, but I know that you can obviously get it on iTunes. And I'm not sure if it's on any other streaming services, but I'm sure you'll be able to find it. It's called Google, people. All right. A couple of other recommendations that I have for you of new things that I have been listening to. Just had two podcasts quickly for you. Number one was Dr. Death Season 3, Miracle Man. So basically this guy he's Dr. Paolo. He's smart and handsome surgeon, renowned for his abilities to perform surgeries that transform his patients' lives. And when a television producer covers him for her story, he'll transform her life too, in ways that you do not expect. So basically Benita is her name, and she crosses professional lines to be with this surgeon. So they kind of like have this relationship. And then she kind of starts to learn a bit more about his secrets, and his stories start to unravel. And at the same time, halfway across the world, there are four doctors at professional medical institutes that are making some shocking discoveries of their own and raising their own questions about this Dr. Paolo. If you know anything about Dr. Death, you know that they have had two previous seasons with other doctors. One of them has become a TV show, which I also recommended. Excellent, excellent podcast series. Each season is about a new doctor that is a real guy. These are real stories. They're talking to real patients and doctors, when doctors go wrong, I guess, when doctors go bad. And so, yeah, this was a really interesting one because it was about a man creating a new medical system or way or process or procedure that the world over was like congratulating him for, and it was just a bit of smoke and mirrors. So it's really interesting to listen to. And Wondery is the one that produces that podcast, and they do great things with true crime, just really great at storytelling. Another podcast that I just listened to as well, and that currently is also airing each week. So they have like a season one, I guess, and then season two, it's all kind of follows the same story around Elizabeth Holmes. It's called The Dropout. And I guess money, romance, tragedy, and deception is kind of the words you would use to describe this. It's basically the story of Elizabeth Holmes, who, if you don't know, was an unbelievable, ambitious story of how fame went wrong, I guess, and how the world's youngest self-made female millionaire lost it all basically just like that. And how, I guess, She was hailed as the next Steve Jobs, and now she's facing criminal charges. That's basically where it's at. And how did the technology that she was creating that was supposed to revolutionize the healthcare system and, you know, just change the way that we do things in healthcare, how did it actually put people at risk and did the opposite of what it was supposed to and just took money from a bunch of people, tricked a bunch of smart people into doing the wrong thing? That's basically what it's about. Everything just went terribly wrong. It's a true story. You probably know of Elizabeth Holmes. She was called the female Steve Jobs or the next Steve Jobs because she also used to wear like the black turtlenecks, which is very like Steve Jobs reminiscent. And it's really interesting. They talked to her ex-employees of the medical company that she was building. They talked to patients that had been put at risk because of the medical devices she made. I don't want to tell you too much, but it's like all over the news. So I guess you probably already know the story. But yeah, it's a really interesting in-depth insight into looking into what happened with Elizabeth Holmes and what is happening with her at the minute. So yeah, I recommend that podcast. Well, anyway, those are a few court report recommendations to leave you on. But again, if you follow me on Instagram at Courtney Mangan, I'm going to try and do some sort of a regular segment over there once a month that you can just like get a bunch of recommendations for me so that you are still getting your fix. All right, let's finish up for the last time with my attitude of gratitude. And I'm just going to say that it's you guys and this podcast. It was like a little diary for me the last 18 months, and I've learned so much from the guests I've had on. And thank you to every guest that I did have on. If any of you are listening, I appreciated you sharing your story and coming on and giving me your time. And I learned something from each guest, and that's really powerful. And as I said, this was like a diary. I was able to get on here and just kind of say what I was thinking, what I was feeling, and having people hear that and see that, make me feel heard and seen is really special. So thank you so much for being a part of this. And yeah, I think that's what I'm grateful for today. Thank you very much for you being part of this journey. And when I started this podcast, I just thought that it would be my mom and one of my friends listening. And there's so many more of you now, and that's really special to know that you would come along for the journey, the highs and the lows. But as I said, I just want to say goodbye for now because I really love doing this podcast, and I'm heartbroken that I have to give it up. But that's not to say that I can't pick it up again in a few months, hopefully when this nightmare is behind me and I can have more time to spend on things that I love rather than rest. So let's finish up with the thought of the week, and this is a quote I have recommended or said before, but I want to leave you with one of my favorite quotes of all time. And what a lot of this podcast has been about for me, and I hope for you as well: find out who you are and do it on purpose. Dolly Parton. All right. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. It was a bit of a hot mess, that episode, but it just is what it is, I guess. I just had to get out everything that I was thinking. 2021 has been a really hard year, but it's also been a wonderful year. There have been a lot of highs and a lot of lows, and that's what life is, I guess. And I hope that 2022 holds a lot of highs for you and for me. And I hope that I will be back. But thank you so much for listening to me over the past 18 months and allowing me into your ears, into your hearts. It has really meant the world to me. So thank you so much. I love you all, and goodbye for now.